B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper
and Murray.
Gasper
and Murray.
All righty, from the Town Fair Tire Studio, Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's actually a Gasperless Gasper and Murray. Chris, not here today. Why? Hell if I know. So you have me, Jim Murray, here until 2 o'clock alongside Sean Silver in on the Sports Hub headlines, chiming in as well. And you, the people, at 617-779-0985. Late yesterday, right around 6:30-ish, while filling in on Maz's Baseball Reporter Show with Matt McCarthy, ESPN's Adam Schefter providing the late Friday news dump of Patriots wide receiver Josh Gordon's reinstatement. I actually haven't had an opportunity to actually give my opinion on that matter, as the big book of sports radio bylaws, here it is, demands that during a specialty show like the Baseball Reporters, you only speak about the mind-numbingly boring and terrible Red Sox. It's much like when Chris and I do the Sports Up Celtics show at noon during the NBA season. It's Celtics and Celtics only. Doesn't matter if World War III breaks out, dirty bomb goes off of the Boston Common, Tom Brady gets traded to Tennessee. It's Celtics and Celtics only. And who am I to rock the boat and mock the big book of sports radio bylaws? With that out of the way, Josh Gordon is back. Let's get your thoughts on it. It's 617-779-0985. I'm a little surprised, I am, that the league let him return. The guys have, like, a million chances. Selfishly, though, like most of you, especially Patriots fans, I'm pumped that he is back and he is getting another chance. Because from a roster standpoint, and just from a pure football standpoint, especially right now, they desperately need Josh Gordon. That's a scary thing to say, because you kind of can't rely on Josh Gordon, but they desperately need Josh Gordon. Because if you look at what Tom Brady was forced to deal with, for the Patriots' second joint practice with the Tennessee Titans on Thursday, obviously no Julian Edelman dealing with the thumb injury. Demaryius Thomas continuing to rehab his torn Achilles from last year. N'Keal Harry hurt. And did they send him back to Boston? Sean, is that... I feel like there's, like, conflicting reports on that, that rookie N'Keal Harry, who got dinged up in the first preseason game against Detroit, no one's seen him, and then I've heard that he was around or that they sent him back to Boston. If they send him back to Boston, what's that mean? Is he, like, MGH getting his leg looked at?
Yeah, I'm going to dig into that one, although I am seeing multiple reports that he did fly back.
Oh, that's
so
not good.
That pretty much means he's going to get checked out at a local facility, right?
Oh, yeah, great. Okay, so no Edelman, no Demaryius Thomas, no N'Keal Harry. Philip Dorsett, Maurice Harris also banged up this week. So in that second practice, at one point, because Jacoby Myers is sitting out, you know, because I think, you know, it's like Belichick is trying to force Brady to deal with, you know, the bottom of the roster, bottom of the barrel type crap that's on this at that position. That second practice, he went 3 for 8, did Brady, having to throw to these eventual car salesmen, Braxton Berrios, Dontrell Inman, Gunnar Olszewski. Like, what are we doing here? So you look at that, and we'll play some of the clips later, because after that practice, Brady definitely sounded frustrated having to deal with these bums. They need Josh Gordon. They need him. It's kind of a scary proposition. I do wonder how the team approaches this, though, at this point, because, you know, the thing was last year, in the 11 weeks that they had Josh Gordon last year, they were leaning on him a lot, and he gave them pretty good production until the end. And there it was. He was suspended after that loss in Pittsburgh. And so they need him, but I think the reality of the situation is with Josh Gordon, you can't depend on this guy being around all year. I'm sure that they would like to. I would like it, but the reality is history says otherwise. You can't rely on Josh Gordon. So just from a football standpoint, good news. Wide receiver depth, obviously an issue. It might even give them some flexibility. This might actually even be the most underrated thing. So if you can't rely on Josh Gordon because of his problems with substance abuse and all the demons he's battled throughout his life, even if you have him like the first 6 weeks and then, you know, maybe he's off the reservation again, at least through those first 6 weeks, it will allow you to, or allow the Patriots to really have Demaryius Thomas come along slowly as he rehabs. You stash him on PUP for a little bit. You get him back around like week 6, week 7. At least you'll help your depth there when Thomas comes back. So at the very least, at least for the first 6 weeks, you know, you you're going to need this guy, and it allows them at least some roster flexibility as well. But either way, I don't know how you don't look at this as good news. And even from a human standpoint, because this guy's substance abuse issue, this isn't – Josh Gordon isn't one of these guys that is just partying too much. He's not going into the clubs and buying bottles of booze, finishing them and cracking them over, you know, some random skull or something like that. It's not a partying issue with Josh Gordon. It's a coping thing for him more than anything else. I mean, you read about this guy's history and his horrific upbringing. This is what it's about. It's a mental health issue more than anything else. But I got to say, considering the history and considering, I don't know, how draconian the league is about these kind of things when it comes to substance abuse, I was surprised. I figured he wasn't going to get another chance. You hadn't really heard much. It wasn't like Belichick or Brady sounded all that positive in recent weeks anytime that Josh Gordon's name was brought up. I mean, hell, I think when Brady was asking about him, like right when camp was opening up, he was referring to him in past tense. And after hearing that, I was like, oh, well, he's done. I know he had applied for reinstatement, you know, going back about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. I just, after that, hearing Brady talk about it, Belichick saying, oh, it's a league matter, talk to the league. I was like, oh, well, he's done. He's not going to be able to come back. But here we are. I don't know. Maybe this is the brave new face of the NFL, and they're looking at it, rightfully so, as more of a mental health issue as just a guy that has a problem with substance abuse because he likes partying too much, which that's not what it is with Josh Gordon. But relying on him and how the team approaches this, I don't know. It's a risky proposition, but they do need him. Sean, were you surprised that the league let him back in? And I don't know, how do you think that the team approaches this? It's like, yeah, you need him from a football standpoint, but relying on him at this point, especially with what happened with him last year, how much can you rely on him?
Yeah, you've got the football issue and, you know, what you need to get out production-wise of the players that are on your roster, and then you've got the human issue, and it does seem like the team, at least on its face, they care about the player. This, again, looks like one of those Patriot instances where, hey, let's get a guy into the fold here. He's not in Cleveland anymore. Let's, you know, shower him with support and give him everything that he needs to, you know, get into a routine where he can be a productive member of society and a productive player. So there's obviously that. The team apparently saw something here, that there was value in offering a tender to this guy, you know, in the dead of winter and just seeing if there was a possibility of coming back. And it's interesting, too, to hear the language around how Goodell has handled each disciplinary measure and, you know, reinstatement with Josh Gordon. It appears very clear that Goodell, you know, kind of has an interest in this guy and, you know, seeing him succeed. And, you know, I don't know how genuine that necessarily is, but I mean, you know, you've heard quotes such as he's rooting for him and,
yeah,
and things like that. It is surprising that a guy with this history is back in the league. I mean, you know, you look at NFL, NBA, various leagues, guys with substance abuse issues who get hit a certain number of times, you just don't hear from them again. It doesn't matter how talented they are. You go back to, you know, like Roy Tarpley in the NBA or something like that. I mean, that's probably your basketball comparison to a Josh Gordon, a really good young player who could just never get his feet under him. So I don't know exactly. The suspension last year, they said that it was more than weed, was the official league, you know, part of their statement there, that there were multiple violations. So the question for me is, when did those happen? I don't know if we ever figured out exactly when those occurred and how long it took for the league to discipline him. Was it while he was with the Patriots? Was it while he was in camp with the Browns? Remember, there was some funny stuff about his time in Cleveland camp last year as well, where he, you know, showed up apparently out of sorts one time. So, you know, this is a guy that I'm rooting for. I think the Patriots are rooting for, but you just kind of have to take everything with a little hesitation because this is a human issue bigger than a football issue.
Yeah, and here I think the misconception is that with Josh Gordon, it's weed. Like, it's okay. Like, he's one. That's one of the things he's been popped for.
There's alcohol. There's, you know.
Yeah, and the most interesting story about him that really talks about his past, his horrific upbringing, all the problems he's had to deal with, was in GQ, and I'll tweet this out in case you've never read it. At Big Jim Murray, if you're not following me on Twitter, please do. Josh Gordon, this is an interview from 2017, and just reading from his multiple suspensions for violating the NFL's substance abuse policy. 2 games in 2013, 10 games in 2014, entire season in 2015, 2016 reinstated with a 4-game suspension to start the season, and only one of those had to do with marijuana. You read this thing, what it really comes down to, his problem's booze. Like, you know, one of the questions to him in this article, back when you were playing in the NFL, would you describe yourself as a functioning alcoholic? He responds, highly functioning, for sure. I definitely pushed the limit. I don't know how I did it. It could be before games. It could be before practice. After practice, you see other guys kind of doing it, but I would take it to another level a lot of times, feeling as though I was being enabled. I thought it was an okay thing to do. Well, this is normal, and it wasn't. It definitely wasn't. So that's what it really seems to be for Josh Gordon. Like, his coping mechanism is alcohol more than weed. But the misconception, again, so it's like, oh, it's weed. Gordon's weed. Like, no. And it doesn't matter what it is. Like, the guy's got it's a real problem. It's not like a partying thing for Josh Gordon. So you hope that it works out. You hope for the best here, because you go back 8 months and it's yet another suspension here for the Patriots. It seemingly came out of nowhere. His play did drop there those last couple of games. So it's tough. I mean, you hope the best, but I don't know. Like, if I'm being completely honest here in these types of cases, I mean, considering even when we like at this point, unfortunately, we've all had someone in our lives, whether it's friends or family members, that coworkers, whatever it is, that have had serious substance abuse issues. And you certainly hope the best for them. I mean, you know, you have to have some level of empathy, but it does get, it's exhausting. Like, and I'm sure in some level, too, the Patriots are happy to have him back from a football standpoint. And, yes, they're rooting for him on a human level. But this it's a lot of work. It could be exhausting. And they can't be shocked if he goes off the reservation and, you know, finds himself at the bottom of a bottle yet again. So, I don't know. More than anything else, I think, like most people, I'm curious to see how the team handles this. Football side of it, selfishly, we all are happy he's back because they need the help. But I don't know how much they can really rely on this guy. If they get 5-6 games out of him, that's a plus.
Remember last year when the suspension actually went down, the team, I think, tweeted out something that was very, you know, we support. Because it started, he said, I'm taking some time to step away for mental health reasons. And I don't know if the Pats felt that they were backs against the wall from a media relations standpoint, where it's like, all right, well, how do we really respond to this? But they, you know, gave we support him as he, you know, continues to deal with his demons and whatever. But this is right before the playoffs.
Right.
And again, you know, it's not like that receiver core was necessarily elite last year either. There was a need that he filled, and all of a sudden a guy who caught 40 balls for you in limited action was gone. But the Patriots, I guess their only choice was to kind of say, well, you know, this is unfortunate, but we support your efforts. And that was pretty much all you heard from the Pats organization. I was surprised that they tendered him. I was surprised that, you know, that they kept him, I guess, as an option. And all of their offseason moves seemed to indicate, or non-moves seemed to indicate, that this was a guy who was still in their plans. And
yeah,
here we are.
Yeah, and speaking to that, so I remember I pulled this up, Matthew Slater had statements after that suspension going back to December that kind of, you know, summed up, I think, the feeling that the Patriots had for this kid. Like, and I think Bill Belichick really, you know, likes this kid and is pulling for him. Felt like he had a good rapport with Tom Brady, but he made it feels to me like he made a pretty deep impact on some of those guys in that locker room. So Matthew Slater said, first and foremost, our prayers are with Josh, and our concern is with him and what he's dealing with. I think we have a tendency to become so infatuated with what's going on in the football field as players and media members that we lose sight of what's going on with the man sometimes. The number one concern is you want to see him be fine, be okay. That's what we're praying for. So, yeah, you know, a guy that's had these kind of demons and everything that he's dealt with, like, you obviously hope the best for him. But from a football standpoint, like, good luck. Good luck. And one thing, I'm already pissed off about one narrative about this, though. The Patriots wide receiver core is now one of their strengths. What? Just like that, because Josh Gordon's reinstated? The Patriots' wide receiving core is one of their strengths? Yeah, no. So we'll get to that, and if you want to talk about Josh Gordon, his reinstatement, your thoughts on this, 617-779-0985. It's a Gasperless Gasper Amari, Jim Murray, Sean Silver in today, here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 the Sports Hub.
Brady now over 300 yards for the game, 83rd time in his career. Looking for all of it. Unloads to the end zone. Caught by Gordon. Touchdown, Patriots.
You want to be there for Josh Gordon. You want to support Josh Gordon. You want to count on him. But you know you can't count on him. If he's there and plays much of the season, that's a boost and a bonus for the Patriots offense. But he has proven time and time again that he is somebody that no team can count on for the course of a full season. But you'd much rather have him than not in New England's case. They're without Rob Gronkowski. They're without some other offensive weapons. They need help at the wide receiver position. And so they will do their best to support him, try to look after him, take care of him, the hopes that he can be there all season long. Everybody wants him to be there all season long. He struggled to do that in the past. You hope that he can do that now.
Yeah, all you can do is hope with Josh Gordon. That's it. That's ESPN's Adam Schefter. But he's right in saying you can't count on him. Patriots wide receiver Josh Gordon reinstated by the NFL yesterday, and there's already one narrative about his reinstatement that's pissed me off, and it's just, it's this. It's, well, now the receiving corps is a Patriots strength heading into 2019. It is. It is. I'm just reading the headline, Jeff Howe of The Athletic. As Josh Gordon returns, the Patriots receivers now look like a position of strength. Okay. He's not alone. Mark Daniels, who also covers the team for the Providence Journal. Tom Brady has been throwing to a lot of inexperienced receivers this summer. All of a sudden, he gets Josh Gordon back. N'Keal Harry and Julian Edelman will follow, perhaps Demaryius Thomas, maybe Cameron Meredith. Things are looking up for the Patriots again. I'm sorry. No. It's Julian Edelman and a bunch of question marks. That's it. It helps that Josh Gordon has been reinstated, especially when you look at the bottom of the depth chart at this position, which is not a strength, doesn't remain. It's now not a strength with the return of Gordon. It helps that he's back. But as Adam Schefter said, as we all know, given his past, you can't count on him. And then the rest of these guys. Okay, so Julian Edelman, now in his 30s, with the thumb injury. Okay. And he had an issue with drops, you know, just last year and the last couple of years. Those have kind of crept up in the last couple of years anyway. But it's still Julian Edelman. He's steady Eddie. You can count on him. But beyond that, okay, N'Keal Harry looked good in that first preseason game with two catches, but he's had a hamstring issue, and no one has seen him since those two catches in the game against Detroit. He got shipped back to Boston here to probably, I would imagine, have that leg looked at somewhere locally at MGH or whatever. So question mark there. Braxton Berrios, coming off an injury last year, didn't play. He was, what, a sixth-round pick? I know those of you that watch college football and have watched him in Miami say, hey, he's the next Julian Edelman. He's Wes Welker 2.0. Fine, I'll take your word for it. But for me, if I'm being realistic, another question mark. Philip Dorsett, okay, he can come back to the ball. Decent enough route runner. But can you really rely on Philip Dorsett? Question mark there. Who else? Gunnar Olszewski? Who'll be selling cars in a year? Question mark there. Maurice Harris coming in from the Redskins. Question mark there. It's a lot of question marks.
How about Jacoby Myers with his 66 receptions for 69 yards?
Looked great in that first preseason game, Sean. He's reportedly had a good camp. Hell, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, referred to him as kind of like an off-brand Troy Brown in one of his columns earlier this week. Okay, you're there day-to-day. I take your word for it, and he's getting coached up by Troy Brown. They obviously see something in the undrafted rookie. But it's the preseason. It's camp. I take it all with a grain of salt. So it's a question mark. It's fair to say it's question marks outside of Julian Edelman. To already say it's a position of strength just because Josh Gordon has returned, like, please, stop it. Stop it. You're just, you're throwing red meat to the base is what you're doing. Like, see, everything's fine. We don't know. It's an unknown. It's okay to say it's an unknown. It's great that Josh Gordon has returned. They certainly need the help, but you can't rely on him. And that position as a whole, wide receiver for the 2019 New England Patriots, is just one big question mark. At least it is to me. 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on Gordon's reinstatement, either from, you know, the football standpoint, which selfishly is what I care about the most, or from the human standpoint. You have added it. 617-779-0985. Judy in Burlington, you're first up here in a Gasperless Gasper Murray this morning. Hey, Judy.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good, what's up?
So I wanted to talk about at least trying to have a good comeback story with Josh Gordon. And, of course, you know, the ultimate would be the victories that could come if he does make a real comeback.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, look, you root for him from a human standpoint, right? But, I mean, you know, people have differing opinions on this. And for me, having dealt with friends, close friends of mine that ultimately succumbed to drugs as a coping mechanism, it becomes exhausting. I mean, I have some human empathy for someone like that, but for me personally, like, if I'm the Patriots, like, I got a short leash with this guy. Like, how much can you deal with this time and time and time and time again? Like, at some point it becomes exhausting and it really starts to become a drain on you and the organization. And, you know, for me, family members, other friends, like, it's like, how much can you deal with this? You hope the best for him. That's all you can do. Cross your fingers and hope the best for Josh Gordon and anyone in his position. Is it Rav and Lynn? You're next here on a Gasperless Gasper Murray. Hey, Rav. Hello.
Hey, Jim. I love the work you're doing this summer, man.
Okay,
I wanted to talk about how Bill sees Tom and looks at the offense.
Hey, I'm going to put you back on hold, Rav, because you were waiting a little bit there. See if you can get in a better area because your phone stinks. Stinks, rather. Tim in the car, you're next here in a Gasperless Gasper Murray this morning. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Jim. Wanted to call in to first thank you for your tone in talking about the Josh Gordon reinstatement. I think you addressing it as a mental health issue first and foremost is something that a lot of people, some of your colleagues too, are losing sight of. I just wanted to call in and support you on that. I think one of the reasons the NFL has given him so many chances is because there's a lot that they know that we don't know. Things that we couldn't be privy to, that they, are being empathetic in the situation and it could explain the just ongoing leniency with him. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. And that's what it has to be, Tim, because if the NFL and Roger Goodell and the front office at the league were treating this the way that they just a couple of years ago would treat something like this, well, Gordon wouldn't be back. That would strictly be this guy has a problem with drugs. We have a zero tolerance policy with drugs and alcohol abuse. That's it. He's had too many chances. He's not getting another chance. That's it. It does feel like they've softened that stance just recently. And especially in Gordon's case, you know, you look at it, it's not a guy that's like, yeah, I got to party all the time just because I want to party and be in the clubs and just, you know, booze and coke and just, you know, I want to rage because that's what life has given me an opportunity to do off the field. That's not what it is. It's a mental health issue. Again, read up in this kid's past, his story. Like, this is just, it's a coping mechanism for him. So it's interesting that the league has softened their stance, and rightfully so. They should. And the other thing, too, is, like social media is a sewer, but you see some of these, I've already seen, you know, fans of other teams, like, how can they allow this? He's had so many chances. Well, you know, I would say to people like that, and I know it's two different policies. One is the personal conduct, and one is the substance abuse, but... Okay, so you're not going to suspend Tyreek Hill after hearing that tape with him and his girlfriend intimidating her, and he even has still said, yeah, no, I punched my 3-year-old son because I'm teaching him to box. What? So you're not going to suspend a complete scumbag like Tyreek Hill even 4 games. I thought that was going to be like a lock that he was going to get knocked for 4, maybe 6, maybe 8 games after that tape came up with him and his girlfriend. Nothing happens there, and they were supposed to suspend Josh Gordon because he has a substance abuse problem and he uses it as a coping mechanism. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. So, in some ways, Tyreek Hill not getting suspended, I feel like almost benefited Josh Gordon in this case. At least that's the way I look at it. I will say this, though. The league's softening stance and Roger Goodell's little statement about this with the reinstatement of Josh Gordon yesterday, you Patriots fans, you don't get to do something anymore. Not in my mind. I'll tell you what that is after the Sports Hub headlines here with Sean Silver here in a guest.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Patriots' offense is getting a big boost. Our Adam Schefter is reporting that wide receiver Josh Gordon has been reinstated and is now eligible to return to New England. Gordon was suspended December 20th for violating the terms of his reinstatement under the league's substance abuse policy, missing the Patriots' final 2 regular season games and all 3 playoff games. All right, Adam Schefter joining us now live. Adam, what more can you tell us?
Josh Gordon is going to return to the New England Patriots this weekend. It is such that he's being reinstated on a conditional basis, and he will be allowed to attend the Patriots' August 22nd preseason game, but not play in it. But he will be eligible to return for the regular season, and this is just the boost that New England's offense needed, and it's a big boost for Josh Gordon personally and professionally. He's been given so many chances, and I think Roger Goodell, who had the discretion in this decision and decided to reinstate Josh Gordon, knows that it's up to him. And in fact, a short time ago, Roger Goodell said, and I am reading this quote to you word for word, Jay, "We are all rooting for Josh to succeed, both personally and professionally. Everyone shares in that hope and will continue to support him to every extent possible. But as Josh acknowledged, ultimately his success is up to him. And Josh Gordon has handed off many of those chances when he could have shined, could have lit up the league, could have had huge numbers and a big contract by now. But because of the personal setbacks, professional setbacks that he suffered, he found himself in the position where he has been suspended over and over and over again. But he's now gotten a chance that I think a lot of people wondered whether he ever would get again. Goodell has cleared him to return to the Patriots. He'll be there this weekend. And Josh Gordon, I would expect to be ready for the regular season.
Gasper List, Gasper Murray, 98.5 Sports Hub, Jim Murray, Sean Silver in. That's ESPN's Adam Schefter reading the NFL statement on Josh Gordon. Some quote there by Roger Goodell, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Again, that quote is, "We are all rooting for Josh to succeed, both personally and professionally," said Goodell. "Everyone shares in that hope and will continue to support him to every extent possible. But as Josh acknowledged, ultimately, his success is up to him," end quote. It's a classy, empathetic statement from the NFL commissioner. Huh. How about that? Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell has a heart. Imagine that. And Roger Goodell, he's... not out to get you, huh? So you scorn teenage girls, that portion of Patriots fans that act like scorn teenage girls who helped Dave Portnoy become a very rich man by buying the clown nose shirts. You don't get to complain about him anymore. I felt this way for a while anyway. After the suspension and the Deflategate thing, by the way, a heavy-handed suspension. It was stupid. Brady shouldn't have had four games for the equipment violation that they did. He was suspended the four games. In 2016, you go on the run, you win the Super Bowl, greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, 28-3 against the Falcons. You won. And after that, I was like, oh my God, why are people still complaining about Goodell? But you'll do it because you like being mad. Now, what, Roger Goodell, the bad guy, he did you solid. So that's it. You want to still buy the shirt, you wear the shirt, buy the shirt, fine. Do it. Great. I support Barstool as well. But I will look at you as kind of a fool because, you know, the guy you hate, you beat him anyway. Brady was suspended, was supposed to really knock the Patriots down a peg. You didn't. They won the Super Bowl that year. Hell, you've won another one since. It's been great. I'm with you on that. It's great. So you tried to, you hate us because you ain't us. You tried to get us. You didn't get us. We've since won two Super Bowls. It's awesome. You thumbed your nose at the league. You gave him the finger. You won. But he just did you solid. So that's it. I don't want to hear it anymore. You don't get to complain about Goodell anymore. That's it. That's over. That's over. He did you a solid. Again, the quote from the guy you hate. And he's a boob. Roger Goodell, he's a boob. Like all the commissioners of all the sports, they're boobs. And he has helped to water down the product. Really, he's just the lapdog of the owners. It's the owners you should really be mad at. But I know you hate Goodell, but boy, what a classy statement from Roger Goodell. We're all rooting for Josh to succeed, both personally and professionally. Everyone shares in that hope and will continue to support him to every extent possible. But as Josh acknowledged, ultimately his success is up to him. Empathetic, heartfelt, compassionate. Roger Goodell, the guy you hate. You don't get to complain about him anymore. That's it. That's it. No more. Go to Craig and Lynn on Josh Gordon, his reinstatement. Go ahead, Craig.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Long-time listener, second-time caller. I wanted to talk about the Josh Gordon situation as well. I do kind of think it does give our team a little bit of a boost in the wide receiver core because it's going to give Demaryius Thomas more time to heal up, so maybe we don't even need to play him until, say, week 4 or 5. So I really do think it gives us a boost, and I think that we have some guys that could really make our wide receiver squad very dynamic if they can play to their potential, N'Keal Harry, Maurice Harris, and whatnot. And one last thing I did want to say about the XFL is I think it would be a good summer league program. You know, you get some former players to be coaches, so that's where the names come from. Not from necessarily from the players, but from the coaches. And then you get some kids from college or players that were in the NFL that don't make it. It'd be fun to watch maybe an 8 to 10 week season from the spring into summer.
All right, Craig, thanks. So let me try to go through that there. The one thing, so I don't agree with this quick narrative that Gordon is back, and I was saying this in a prior segment, that with Josh Gordon back, now the Patriots wide receiver core is a position of strength. Like, no, it's still, to me, Julian Edelman and a lot of question marks. Gordon being back helps, but he himself is a question mark because of his past and whether or not he can, you know, avoid the demons of his past and finding himself at the bottom of a bottle again. And everyone else, all question marks. Julian Edelman and question marks. N'Keal Harry, okay, first-round pick. First time Belichick's ever selected a wide receiver in the first round. Great. I hope it works out. But he's already dinged up dealing with a hamstring issue. And those things, they tend to nag. It's a bad injury, especially for a guy like that at that position. I do agree with the flexibility on the roster, though, when it comes to Demaryius Thomas. With Gordon here, in those first 4 or 5 weeks, you can still stash Demaryius Thomas on the PUP list as he recovers from the torn Achilles last year when he was with Houston. And then, you know, maybe he comes back in, and if Gordon goes sideways again, at least he'll have Demaryius Thomas back. The problem is, though, it's Demaryius Thomas. He's soft and kind of sucks. I don't really like the player in the first place. But in terms of roster flexibility and how you deal with Thomas coming back slowly, I guess that helps. That's one of the bonuses here of Josh Gordon's return. The XFL, I'll watch it because I love bad football. I like the now-defunct AAF that lasted all of, 10 weeks? I'll watch any form of, bad football, even if it's, sort of semi-pro. Hell, even if I flip around and I see CFL games on, I'll sit and watch it because I'm a loser like that. But will the quality be good? No. Did you see who I think their first pick was? Ex-NFL player that has since committed to play for the XFL, Landry Jones, former backup quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Landry Jones. If that's the quality of talent that that league's going to get, it ain't going to be that great. I'm telling you right now. I hope the best for it. I hope that they allow a lot more violence that has been taken away from the NFL. I'll watch. But I don't expect the product to be all that good. I don't know how you feel, but I know you're a WWE fan, Sean. Eh. But this kind of, I don't know. It didn't work the first time going back to the late 90s when Vince McMahon started the XFL. Now that it's coming back, again, I'll watch because I'm a sucker for bad football, but the product ain't going to be that great.
I think it's going to rely completely on the suckers for bad football club. I remember the first time it was definitely gimmicky. Some of those gimmicks actually did wind up making their way to the NFL.
Well, like the Spider King.
Yeah, enhancing that experience there. But, yeah, it was very gimmicky. What would you have? You had Tommy Maddox, I guess, came out of there, but very few people wound up
Rod Smith.
Yeah, he hate me. You had wrestling tie-ins here and there. Wasn't Jesse the Body Ventura brought in as one of the commentators?
I believe so, yeah.
As he was simultaneously the governor of Minnesota, it was a little weird. So it seems like this is going to be a little more football-oriented, but what can you really do to make a football-oriented league that's going to be attracted to people when it's second-rate talent? So I'm definitely, unless they pull something here where there's some names, which I don't see how they could really have some names. At first, when I heard Landry Jones, I was like, wow, LeRon Landry came out of retirement for this? That would be cool. That guy was jacked. He was pretty good. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is the guy who was Ben Roethlisberger's backup. Yeah, that doesn't move the needle at all. So it's not something I'm going to tune into.
Yeah, unless they're able to do what the USFL did and throw some money around, money that kind of didn't exist. Jeff Goodman's book? I forget the author's name. I forget. But there's a great book out about the USFL that came out last year. It really talks about that league. But unless they can pull off something like that, that was a coup at the time when they end up getting Herschel Walker, I just don't see how, without star power, these offshoot leagues, whether it's the AAF, which has since folded, or the XFL, they're just not going to work. Without star power and without quality football, it's not sustainable.
It's not a cabal of wealthy people either. It's Vince McMahon. I mean, and he's got a lot of money, but he's also got to wonder about his wrestling operation and his various other investments there. So it's kind of like, what can you really do to bring in name talent, impact talent to this league? The one thing that could be fishy is August 27th, Rob Gronkowski's making an announcement at some point. I'm not saying it's a return to play, but yeah, he may have some role with this, which might be semi-entertaining. Again, it's not going to make me watch the games.
It's Jeff Perlman is the author.
Jeff Perlman.
Yeah. Football for a Buck, The Crazy Rise and Crazier Demise of the USFL. I've loved most of his books. Hell, one of my favorite sports books of all time was The Bad Guys, one about the 86 Mets. It's fantastic. But that book about the USFL, if you have any interest, or if you just need a summer book for summer reading on the beach before the summer wraps up, can't recommend it enough. Okay, to your calls in the long commercial-free segment coming up next. Got a couple open lines you want to join us. Talking about Josh Gordon, his reinstatement with the Patriots, the old Friday news dump we got from Adam Schefter around 6:30 last night. Two open lines at 617-779-0985. Your calls and some thoughts on tonight's preseason game number 2. Tom Brady's playing tonight. We'll get to that next here on a Gasperless Gasper Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
guys are working, you know, working hard, and I think training camp's an interesting time with a lot of bodies, and there's a lot of guys in and out, and I think that's really, you know, some years you might have three guys set or four guys set, and I think this year we haven't really had that. So, you know, it's good work for the quarterback just to make a read and then make a throw, and whether we come up with it or not, like, at least we're going to the right place and making a good decisive play. So there's still a lot to be gained, you know, with guys moving in and out, and that's just the way it's been.
Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, who is going to play tonight, apparently, in the second preseason game in Tennessee against the Titans, kickoff 7 o'clock. You can catch the call here on 98.5 The Sports Hub with Dan Roach and Matt Chatham. I loved this comment from Tom Brady because it was so, I think it was inadvertently honest from Brady when he's asked about who he had to work with after that second practice on Thursday down in Tennessee, the joint practices with the Titans, because they wanted to take Jacoby Myers off the field, either to preserve him or to force Brady to work with some of these other bums at the bottom of the roster. So he went 3 for 8, having to throw to the likes of Braxton Berrios, Dontrell Inman, and something called Gunnar Olszewski. I don't know if I'm pronouncing the name correctly. Frankly, I don't care. Because, I mean, what's he going to be other than maybe an actual gunner on special teams going forward? So he uses the word interesting. I mean, that's an adjective you use when you got to grit your teeth and try to say something somewhat complimentary about something you know deep down really sucks. So that's Tom Brady saying, well, it's been interesting. We've all done it. And if I have to describe Greta Van Fleet and say I was working for a rock station, oh, Greta Van Fleet's they're an interesting band. Or whoever is on up against us right now on the other station, I'm sure it's a very interesting show. You know, like, that's, you're trying to be nice, but deep down, you know you can't. You're like, oh, it's interesting. That's an interesting group I've had to deal with here today, with Gunnar Olszewski and Braxton Berrios and Dontrell Inman. Yeah, it's interesting. So we'll see Brady tonight, at least for a little bit. I wish it was just two preseason games. I don't want the Stars ever playing the preseason games. I mean, sure, if you're a season ticket holder, you got to use these tickets, whatever, you still get to tailgate, but I don't know. I just don't want to put any of the Stars and the most important players in the NFL in harm's way. You're just asking for trouble. I think that they should collectively all, you know, figure it out among themselves, like, you know, the cream of the crop in the league, and say, like, hey, we're not participating in this. Couple of snaps here, a couple of snaps there. That's about it. We're not playing in these games. Julio Jones, wide receiver of the Atlanta Falcons, already made that declaration. I'm not playing in these games. Like, F off. I don't know how it can help. You get more out of these practices than you do with these preseason games. But either way, Brady will be on the field tonight. And there are some things to look for, specifically some of these guys at wide receiver. Jacoby Myers, will he continue to be on this track of being, you know, Troy Brown light, using Greg Bedard's assessment of him in Boston Sports Journal earlier this week. And the kid did look good in game one, and Jarrett Stidham did as well. So who's going to get the snaps, the brunt of the snaps, after Tom Brady plays a few series tonight? Is it going to be Jarrett Stidham, or are they going to go to Brian Hoyer? Like, I'm done with Brian Hoyer. I've had enough with Brian Hoyer. I think Brian Hoyer sucks. And I know he looked okay last week, but if, you know, heaven forbid Brady were to go down and it's Brian Hoyer, like, they're doomed. I don't believe in what Mike Felger says, like, oh, no, they'd still go 11-5 and 10-6, and I believe in Belichick. Yeah, all right, Belichick, greatest coach of all time. But Brian Hoyer, like, in his last real postseason action with the Houston Texans, and they only got there in the first place because of their defense and, you know, that they actually have some talent on the ball at every position outside of quarterback, thinking of New Hopkins, who might be the best wide receiver in the game. Hoyer had 6 turnovers. I think it was 5 picks and 1 fumble. Like, he's awful. He stinks. So I don't want to see him tonight. Give the brunt of the snaps after Brady to the kid, because he looked pretty good, at least in terms of confidence, and maybe they have found something. Maybe they lucked out with Jarrett Stidham out of Auburn. So some things to watch for tonight and to listen for as well. You can catch the call of the game here on 98.5 Sports Hub. Kickoff at 7 o'clock, and I believe Beadle and Gasper, who isn't here today but will be part of the pregame, will be on as at 4 o'clock is when that starts today, Sean?
Yes, 4 o'clock, Pat's preview.
All right. We are here at noon, so Sean Silver's going to get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines. No commercials here, 90 seconds of the Sports Hub headlines. Sean's going to get you caught up and then write to you with your thoughts on Josh Gordon, his reinstatement, the big news of the Patriots. It's a big one for them because they certainly need help at that position. But again, one of the things I don't like hearing, like, immediately is, oh, now it's a position of strength for the Patriots at wide receiver. It is, just because Gordon's back, and you can't rely on him anyway. You hope the best for him, obviously, but you're now what? You're relying on Josh Gordon? Please stop it. So your calls on this, got one open line you want to join us, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.